comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you decided to be here, and I appreciate it. We are here because you have a right to know. We are here because you matter. John Vasquez is home from the hospital. You may remember I announced that he was in the hospital with a stroke, and we've been very concerned about John. This news was not good news at all, certainly not for John, but also not for his friends and family. John is the first man to step forward and talk to us about an alleged battle between UFOs and between UFOs and U.S. Army at Fort Benning. Now, some people think that's an impossible story. It just couldn't have happened. Some people think it did happen. Regardless of what you think about it, he stepped forward and told us his account. And as a result of that, eventually published a book about it. Well, John had a stroke. He was in the hospital. He is home from the hospital now, and we're glad. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and I invite you, if you are not getting it, to get it. It's absolutely free, and we start sending it out tonight after the show. So if you're not subscribed, subscribe right now. Just click where it says K-Files on my website. Members in the members community, we have some new videos in the video galaxy as of today. You go there and click 2009, the shows from 2009. We added some files to that today. We'll be adding some for 2010 over the next couple of days, and then we'll start on 2011. It is coming along really nicely, and we're continuing to get very positive comments from people who send me email or messages about that, and so I think it's something that people are enjoying, and that's a good thing. Now, look, if you're not a member, you can cure that tonight. Simply go to my website, click where it says join, and join. Right now, we have a special deal going, and that is we give you the first 7 days free. After that, it's $7.50 a month. That comes out to 25 cents a day. So now's the time, because that offer is going to end soon, and it'll still be a great deal. But you get the first 7 days free right now. Why wouldn't you? On Saturday evening, this Saturday evening, that'll be the first Saturday of the month of December, and on the first Saturday of each month, I go into the chat room, and for a couple of hours, we chat. So let me invite you to come be a part of that. The chat room, of course, is open anytime you want to go in there and, you know, arrange with friends to meet you in the chat room. It's there. But on the first Saturday of each month, I go in for a couple of hours. I go in at showtime. So whatever time it is right now, that's the time to be there. All right, we're going to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is Open Line Live. We try to do one Open Line Live every week if we can. Some weeks we can't, but we try. And, of course, it depends on the scheduling issues with the guests. But tonight is Open Line Live, and I will open the telephone lines in a few minutes. I always have one or two things I want to bring to the table and throw into the mix. Maybe something you'll be interested in, maybe something you want to talk about. But if it's not, then there are other things to talk about. All you have to do is decide what it is you wish to talk about related to our genre of the world of the strange and unexplained. We'll talk about it, okay? But I've got a couple of things I want to bring to the table. One thing is not so much in the news, but it needs to be in the news here. And that is that, you listen to the shows and you're interested, and very often you're very emotionally engaged with the show. Now, by that, what I mean is, it is entertainment for you. You enjoy it. It's entertaining. You get a kick out of it. But you get emotionally involved in the thing as well from time to time, because something the guest is saying really connects with you. But we need to be reminded of something, and that is for many of these guests, not for all, but for many of these guests, it's something way beyond entertainment. Most of our guests, it's way beyond entertainment. For some of them, it's even a risk. There is a person whom we would love to have on the show that has said, as a result of the James Norton issue, what happened with James Norton, this person has said, you know what? I just don't want to be on any radio shows. I'm not going to do it. And that kind of tentatively had indicated interest in being on the show. But had a change of heart and said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to be on any radio shows. I'm going into hiding. And the reason I point that out is I think for some of these folks that would be a very normal, natural reaction. But I point it out because we need to be aware of it. You and I need to be aware of the fact that some of the people who speak up and tell us things are doing so at a risk. And I certainly don't want anyone to do something that is going to endanger their lives. I would not encourage anybody to endanger their lives just so you and I get the thrill of hearing about it. But we need to be, you and me, we need to be aware that a lot of the people who come on this show and thousands of other shows in this genre and say things about UFOs and extraterrestrials, about remote viewing, about being part of at some time in their life, either as a participant or as a victim of some type of government black ops program, these folks are doing so at a risk. And we need to be appreciative of that. And part of being appreciative of that is this, folks. We listen. But we need to really listen. We need to hear what they say. And when we have the opportunity then to ask them questions, to make comments, to interact with them, we need to do that. Believe it or not, it is part of their protection. when those who are monitoring them hear that there is audience. I understand we live in a real, honest-to-God couch potato culture now. I understand that. Now, that doesn't apply to everyone, so don't get miffed if you're not a couch potato. It's just one of those things that you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. We do. That's why the country's in the shape that it's in. Because people just sort of go, oh, okay, well, I don't like that, but what can I do? And they lay back down and go back to sleep. I understand we live in a couch potato culture. But when you have an opportunity to talk to these folks who are risking themselves, their lives, and maybe the lives of their families, to tell us things, you need to rise to the occasion and engage with them. Talk to them. It is important that those who are monitoring them in secret understand that they do have an audience, and that what gets done is not going to be done, whatever it is not going to be done in secret. It's going to have to come to the light of day, and will do so. All right, NASA. If you looked at my website, you see the faceplate for tonight's show. And it's a picture of this brand new rover that NASA has sent to Mars. It's on its way there now. And the title of the on the faceplate says, "Oops, we did it again. So sorry, my bad." What in the world could I be talking about? Well, NASA has a very, very strict policy when they send something to another planet. Now, this policy has to do with not contaminating that planet with any biological matter from this planet. In other words, we don't send something to another planet that has even one cell of biology on it. They are super purified before they are launched. They actually even have an office at NASA with an officer appointed for the purpose of planetary protection, and that officer is called the Planetary Protection Officer, and that officer's name at the moment is Catherine Conley. She goes by Cassie. Well, now that the new Mars rover has been launched and is on its way, news has come out that, well, a set of drill bits carried on board the Curiosity rover, that's what it's called, a set of drill bits carried on board were not sent through the final ultra cleaning step. And that is considered to be a major, major significant deviation from the planetary protection plans that NASA has written. And that they wrote for the Mars Science Laboratory mission. That's what this is. It's the MSL mission, Mars Science Laboratory. This is a very major deviation from the written plan. Now, of course, since it didn't go through this this ultra-cleaning step to make sure there's no biology at all on these drill bits, it makes anything that this mission reports related to life on Mars 100% suspect. If they find microbial life, everybody's going to say, yeah, but you can't be sure that's Martian. That might have come from Earth. You'll have people at NASA saying that. maybe this is completely designed to do that. Maybe that was the plan from the beginning. We don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, though. Would it surprise you? Now, if they don't find anything, you know, if they come up with, let's say they come up with some kind of biological activity there, but they say, no, that's not Martian. That's some little microbes that were on the drill bits. You're going to have everybody in the alternative community saying, yeah, right. They're lying to us again. So what's happened here is NASA has absolutely made it certain, completely certain, that nothing they say about the science on this mission can be trusted. It is especially true and suspicious when you know the rest of the story. The rest of the story, well, they have known for several months that those drill bits did not go through the ultra cleaning process. They've known it for several months, and they did nothing about it. Here's a statement from Catherine Conley, NASA's Planetary Protection Officer. Are you ready? News of this decision did not reach NASA's Chief Protector of the Planets until, quote, from her, very late in the game. Still quoting, she says, they didn't submit the request for the deviation not to comply with their planetary protection plan until several months ago. End quote. So they've known about this for several months. They had time to correct it, and they made a conscious decision not to do it. It's not like they just forgot. It was made by the project developers working in coordination with NASA. They made an internal decision not to send the equipment through this final ultra cleaning step. Don't you find that just, you know, a little bit odd? So the very decision to violate this plan, to violate this ultra cleaning step, was made in conjunction with NASA. Now the Planetary Protection Officer gets a request for deviation from the plan several months ago. NASA people, along with the project people, along with the people building this thing, made this decision. NASA people are involved with this. Now, they apparently are required to send a request for a deviation from the plan over to the Office of Planetary Protection. And they did. But according to her, it was very late in the game. And then she says, we didn't hear about this until several months ago. Several months? You had time to take those drill bits and put them through the ultra cleaning process. You had several months. You could have done it. Why didn't you do it? Well, Miss Conley, Catherine Conley, when questioned about this, said, I will certainly expect to have a lessons learned report that will indicate how future projects will not have this same process issue. Oh, wow. That's equivalent to saying, oops, we did it again. So sorry. My bad. Now, folks, this is a $2.5 billion $2 million project. $2.5 billion project. This is a heavyweight. And because of this, nothing NASA tells us about this, the science on board this project, can be trusted. Look, the trust level in NASA is already at an all-time low. And now they pull a bonehead stunt like this with a $2.5 billion project. Oops, I did it again. I don't think people on our TV station heard it. Let's try that again. Their new theme song down at NASA. Folks, this is unbelievable. It's unconscionable. It's incomprehensible. It's unbelievable. But don't worry about it, because they are going to get a report for lessons learned so that they won't do this again. And then NASA expects people to be in their corner. NASA expects the American public to be in their corner. You know, I try to be in NASA's corner. I'm hard on NASA about dumb stuff like this. But I try to be in their corner. You know it. I say double their budget and then get rid of all these people that have been doing all this lying and covering up and tell everybody that's left, get on with this mission. Let's do this. But tell the people what you find. Be honest with people. That's my approach. That's what I'm for NASA, especially under those conditions. But they pull a bonehead stunt like this, $2.5 billion, and they made a conscious decision not to put these drill bits through the ultra cleaning last step. And that absolutely blows any trustworthiness in any report they give us now about what this thing's going to find once it gets to Mars. You know, NASA, when you pulled that stunt with the polar lander, you know, that was supposed to land at the North Pole of Mars several years ago, and it went missing, and you said, well, it crashed, and you said it's because some of those engineers used imperial instead of metric measurements. I thought that was about the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. I think this tops it. Okay, back from the break, and we are continuing here with NASA. Folks, there's more to this story. This thing is deep. You know, you read the story. You've read it in the news. One of our listeners sent me a link to this story. And you read it, and you think, boy, now that's dumb. But, you know, the impact of it is a couple of drill bits and they left out a step and, yeah, that's dumb. It's worse than dumb. They didn't forget to do it. They decided not to do it. Follow this now. When you're dealing with a government agency, when something happens, there is a guiding hand behind it. Follow this and see what you think about this. First of all, they've been saying that this rover is going to be the most magnificent thing in terms of looking for the possibility of life. It's not actually going to be looking for life. It's going to be looking for the possibility that there has been life on the planet. Now, how long have we been going to Mars? A long freaking time. How many times have we landed on Mars? A bunch. How many times have they scooped up dirt and tested it? A bunch. They know what the conditions are on Mars. Now, they don't tell us the true conditions, as we've pointed out on this show many, many times. I've pointed it out to you. I wrote a book about it called Mars Maximum Mystery, and I've talked about it openly and in depth many, many, many times. That the real conditions on Mars, based on their own evidence, doesn't match their official statements. But they know what the real conditions are. If I can look at their evidence and deduce from their evidence something about the real conditions, the real situation on Mars, you can bet your bank. Not just your bank account. You can bet your bank. They know the real conditions. So now they're sending up a $2.5 billion rovers to scratch up some dirt and look for the possibility that there ever was life there. What they're looking for are the building blocks of life. Why wouldn't you just go there and look for life? What's wrong with these people? Why wouldn't you just send something up there that tests the soil to see if there's any biology in it? Oh, excuse me, they did that already. 1976, the Viking lander. Dr. Gil Levin's experiment on board that lander. It tested for biological processes and found them. NASA accidentally got excited and told the truth, then backed up and punted and said, wait a minute, time out. We got to do another experiment to confirm that. We think that one was wrong. So they used an experiment package that wasn't designed to check for biological processes, and it didn't find any. And they went with that. They said, okay, you see, we did another experiment. It found no biological processes. Okay, that's it. The Gil-Levin experiment was in error. I mean, come on, NASA. You know, do you think we're really that stupid? I guess you do. So now you got a $2.5 billion rover that's going to go up and check for the building blocks of life. Oh, and we at NASA made a decision not to do the ultra-cleaning process on these drill bits that will be drilling down into the soil, absolutely nullifying any validity to anything we're going to tell you about what we find in the soil. Our planetary protection officer was notified about it months ago. And what happened? Nada. Nema nishta. Zip. Zero. Nothing. Why do you need to be looking for the building blocks of life, NASA? Why don't you just look for life? We know you already did it. We know you found it. You tried to cover it up, but we know. Why don't you just go look for life? And why would you pull this bonehead stunt? Well, you know, that pretty much kills the validity of this mission, unless, folks, there's another mission. Is there really something else this rover is up to? It's got a power system that's nuclear. plutonium. It can and will power this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, our time, for 14 years. Does NASA think it will take 14 years to find whether Mars has the building blocks of life? 14 years means that the batteries run down in the year 2025. It takes 14 years to find the building blocks of life, which you now cannot verify because you made the decision, NASA, not to clean those drill bits. Folks, none of this makes any sense. Now, look, we would be shocked, surprised, and outraged if NASA had forgotten to clean the drill bits. But this was a decision not to clean the drill bits. They knew about it at the instant the decision was made. They were part of the decision-making process. They knew about it right then. And then the Planetary Protection Office finds out about it in some documents that were filed with them, according to the director of that office, several months ago. And was it corrected? No. None of this makes sense unless there is another mission that this rover will be conducting. None of it makes sense. It would be a huge, gigantic embarrassment if it was an accident. But it's a decision, not an accident. So instead of a huge, gigantic embarrassment, what we have is a huge, gigantic mystery. We have a rover that's going to be functional for 14 years, doing something that they now cannot verify the veracity of the data for 14 years as a result of a decision made at NASA. I don't know what side mission it's got, but I bet you it's got one. I don't know what its real mission is, but I bet you it's not what we were told. What do you think about it? I'd like to know what you think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. And it is Open Line Live. We can talk about this, or we can talk about any of the heavyweight shows we've had this week or previously. It doesn't matter. Or something else in our genre that you have on your mind. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you are outside of the USA or Canada, so look around yourself, and if you're in the USA or if you're in Canada, this does not apply to you. If you're outside the USA or Canada, we have an additional option for you, and that is the flash message. We invite you to use that if you don't want to make an international long-distance call. Go to my website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and you will see the link right above the picture. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. The other night you had Ben Davis on.
Yeah.
And I want to thank him for being courageous enough to appear on your show. My question to you is, he started to mention that MUFON asked him about when he was conceiving his child and if there was some discharge. And then you interrupted him and told him not to go on further.
No, no, no. I said, don't get dragged. No, 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 no. I didn't.
Some information or what other reason?
No, I did not tell him not to go further. I said, don't get graphic.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like a turning point for him when he was talking to MUFON. I mean, that's when he just said to wrap it up and no more.
Mm-hmm.
And it really puts a bad light on MUFON. It seemed like he knew something that he didn't even, you know, that he was the only one who knew.
Well, let me tell you, I'm not a defender of MUFON, and I'm not a persecutor of MUFON. I think they do some, and have done for many years, some great work. Sometimes they have done things that I would say, looks like they dropped the ball here. And you would expect that of any organization over a period of time. They're never going to be perfect. But based on what he told us and then based on what happened to him after that for 12 years, he makes a connection between what happened and his discussions with MUFON. So if that connection is real, if that's really how it is, it means that someone in MUFON, someone in the group that interviewed him, is connected to Black Ops in some way or another.
That's what I thought. I thought there was some type of infiltration. And I also found it interesting, his daughter is entering the military, and it seems like with his, with what he's been through with the military, questioning why he would be so happy with his daughter entering the military.
Well, I can understand. You know, I don't talk about what was done to me, but I can tell you what was done and is continuing to be done to me. A dog should not have done. In fact, PETA would have people in jail over the stuff that gets done to me. But I still love my country. Hang on through this break. We'll come back to that. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away, all right? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Jerome from Pennsylvania on the line with us. You still with us, Jerome?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay.
I was also wondering, Ben Davis said that ETs that evidently took him had a mission for him, and this mission was to somehow secure a beam weapon. Do you think that he was successful in that endeavor?
He said that on the air that when I asked were these two guys that were the actual operators in this, were they successful? He said, yes. And I said, did they give it back to the ETs? He said, I really don't know that. But I think, based on further conversations I've had with him, that he's of the opinion that they were not successful and that this beam weapon was moved by the military to higher security, another location.
I thought that they were unsuccessful, too, because when he was talking about the future, he mentioned that the ETs showed him the future and how it would be if they were not successful, and I got that impression.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you do have one set of ETs working with the government, I think that explains a lot with NASA. This whole mission to Mars obviously is not what the stated mission is, because if they already have a base on Mars, they know that there are ETs and life in the universe. So this mission to Mars is just to for some other reason, whatever that is, but not for the reasons. And it's not for one reason. That much money, I'm sure they have. It's not a mono mission. It's a polyvision mission.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, like I said, if this thing about not cleaning those drill bits, if this were an oversight or an accident, we would be outraged that they had pulled something this dumb. But this was not an accident. This was a decision, a conscious internal decision made by the contractors and NASA. In conjunction with NASA, they made the decision not to do the cleaning. And then when the Planetary Protection Office was informed of this, they were informed of it several months ago. Those drill bits could have been taken out and cleaned and put back in. They didn't do it. So this is a conscious decision made by NASA on a $2.5 billion project to do something that pretty much nullifies the project. And they launched it anyway. That tells me that along with that information and a battery that's going to power this thing nonstop for 14 years, this, whatever it's going to do, is something you and I are never going to be told. We're never going to be told
I
its real mission.
That, and I also think because of the drill bits, they'll be throw the baby out with the bathwater whenever any information does arise.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Kevin, thanks for another show. I'll just let other people call in. Thank you very much.
Jerome, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And don't forget, if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I'll be glad to read that flash message on the air if it pertains to our genre. And then we'll discuss it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm just thinking out loud. What is the possibility they have an undesirable opponent on Mars? And I don't mean undesirable to us, but undesirable to their purpose. So they purposely contaminate some drill bits to try a little biological warfare. And then, if that doesn't work, the nuclear reactor could go radioactive on them.
Well, I guess it's a possibility, but here's the deal. There's nothing that would indicate these drill bits were contaminated with something that could be a bioweapon. But
we don't know that.
Well, we don't know that, but there's no indication of it. Okay. I mean, they could be coated with ricin. I mean, they could be coated with anything, but there's no indication of that. So we would be making a pretty big leap to assume that these things are going to be used in any way in biowarfare. Okay, now, it does not have a nuclear reactor on board. It has plutonium batteries. They are nuclear, but it's not a reactor. They're plutonium batteries. And could that in some way be used in some type of detonation? I'm pretty sure it could be. I mean, you can make water explode. So, you know, I guess they could. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think it's got a mission, and its mission isn't
what it is.
Yeah, its mission isn't what we were told, because what they've just done is invalidated that mission by decision.
And they wonder why the people are. They wonder why they went. In the next few years, they're going to wonder why they went down the toilet.
Yeah, well, I doubt they go down the toilet in terms of still being in business. They're probably still going to be in business, and they're still going to be getting funding from the U.S. taxpayers, because they are part of the Department of Defense. And the Department of Defense will not go out of business, so I'm pretty sure they're going to be around. But in terms of having the support of the American people, that's pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And this, oops, we did it again, you know, this just doesn't play.
No. Oops, we did it intentionally again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's just a thought.
Brent, thanks for that thought.
Okay.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And let's check and see if we have any flash messages coming in. We have no flash messages, or do we? Nope, we don't. No flash messages as yet. So what do you think about this, folks? You think this is a good thing NASA has done for us here? Are you suspicious? Do you trust NASA? Do you think that this is all copacetic? It's okay. Everything's cool. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name? And you went away. Sorry about that. 623-444-5889. What do you think, folks? I mean, are you going to be part of the couch potato culture tonight? What's it going to be here, huh? You have an opinion about what this is? You have an opinion about what's going on? Maybe you think I'm all wet. Maybe you'd like for me to just shut up and play music. Well, pick up your phone and say so. Get some courage, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Well, Kevin, I think you're pretty much on the money here. And I think Brent...
Steve, I hate to do it, man. A break just took over. Can you hang on? Can you hang on through the break?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone line with me, Steve from Georgia. Steve, sorry we had to cut you off right at the beginning when you just started to talk, but the break took over. So, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Kevin, and I'm glad you're there. By the way, I like the hat.
Oh, do you?
One of the things I've told you before is that I did a 20-year tour in the Army. And one of the units I was with, 2nd MASH, and part of the responsibilities that I held was the moving the MASH from one place to another. We performed an airborne mission, and whenever the military, and that includes, of course, NASA, whenever the military moves anything by air and there are people involved, as, well, there are in this mission, maybe not the aircraft, and maybe so, and we don't know about it, but for sure there are people involved at least monitoring the situation. We are responsible down to the cubic centimeter, down to the milligram of petroleum products, to the weight of the equipment that we move. We are responsible for everything to the nth degree, almost microscopically, that we move through the air. So craft that is going to Mars, that a couple of drill bits completely evaded the sterilization process, had to have been intentional. It cannot be accidental. Absolutely cannot be accidental. So that tells me that this Mars mission has truly has a secondary mission to it, not only to bring back data, but perhaps to induce data to Mars. And so there must be something on those drill bits that are that it's important to NASA, it's important to the powers that be that control NASA, to put into the dust or into the soil that looks more like Wyoming than Georgia, and I think I've said that before on your show. They're supposed to introduce something into Mars itself. Now, you just had a show the other night about these deadly worms that are found in Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
I've read about those before. I read about those about a year and a half ago or so, and I found them horrifying, and I found it very reasonable that these worms could have originated extraterrestrially. I've never been to Mars, but I know that when you had Laura Eisenhower on some weeks ago, she talked about a predator that's on Mars that the people who go there find annoying. And some people choose not to go there because this predator is out there. And I can't help but thinking that that predator might be this heat-seeking worm that can kill biological forms on Earth very easily and from a distance. Now, one of the things that I know as an organic gardener is that one of the best ways to kill a worm is by introducing nematodes to the soil. You know, if I inoculate the soil in my garden with nematodes, it's going to kill these grub worms. It's not going to kill earthworms that enrich the soil. The nematodes don't kill the night crawlers, don't kill the other things, but it does kill, the nematode does kill these grub worms that are predatory. That's one possibility, that they might want to put some nematodes into Mars to make it a little more user-friendly for whoever's planning to go to Mars in the near future. Another possibility is that these drill bits are supposed to introduce cyanobacters into the soil of Mars to increase the oxygen. The cyanobacters increase oxygen on any planet they're introduced to. They were introduced to this planet many, many thousands of years ago. And so, Kevin, when you said that this mission has a secondary mission, and when Brent from Wyoming insinuated that it probably does, I have to echo your and his sentiments on this matter. And I'm going to hang up and let other intelligent callers call in and speculate on this matter.
All right. Before you do that, let me say that your thoughts have added tremendously to the discussion, and really, I had not thought about the nematodes and cyanobacters, but that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it definitely could be. Also, let me say thank you for working in the U.S. Army with a MASH unit. I have personal reasons to really like the MASH units. When I was in Bosnia, I got medevaced over to a MASH unit and had emergency surgery. And I am okay and here today because of them, so thank you very much. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, that's the number to call. NASA has, in a strange kind of way, sort of tipped their hand here. As I said, if this were just an accident, that they forgot to clean these drill bits, forgot to sterilize them, we could be outraged and say, how could you guys be so dumb? I mean, this is a $2.5 billion project. It's going to be up there for a long time. How could you be this dumb? But that's not the case here. It's publicly reported that this was a decision. Let me just read that to you. Project developers. Now I'm reading from the article here, okay? Project developers, working in coordination with NASA, made an internal decision not to send the equipment through a final ultra-cleaning step. So they've admitted it. NASA was in on the decision. Why? Their own rules for this mission, their own written policy for this mission, said that everything had to go through that final cleaning step. And they made a decision with the project developers. NASA and the project developers together made this decision not to put the drill bits through. And so far, I think Steve has given us probably the best possibility in that there is a reason they didn't want those drill bits to be sterilized, because they are carrying something that the real hands behind NASA want to have introduced to Mars. And so they made the decision that they're not going to put them through the final clean. So what is it that they're going to be introducing to Mars? Certainly they're going to be introducing something simply by virtue of the fact of not having cleaned these drill bits. Well, what is it? Now, Steve suggested something pretty interesting. I had not made the connection between what Laura Eisenhower had to say about there are predators on Mars that are deadly, and a lot of people have been killed by them. A lot of people that go up to our base on Mars. This is what she said. What kind of predator? Well, what about either that Mongolian death worm we talked about, which apparently appeared in 1926, and I suggested in that show that there seems to be a possibility anyway that this is of some type of extraterrestrial origin. There's no place else on Earth where this worm is known. It's in the Mongolian, primarily the desert, the Gobi Desert. And it's like 2 to 4 feet long, and it sprays its victims, it spits it at its victims, something like acid, but it causes instantaneous death, or can stay off at a distance and kill them with an electrical pulse, an electrical charge. As bizarre as that sounds, it's apparently pretty well supported by testimony and evidence right up to a Mongolian premier who has seen one. So the point is, that sounds very alien. It was first discovered in 1926. It was the first time somebody caught sight of it. I said, perhaps it is of extraterrestrial origin somehow, some way. I don't know. Now, Steve says, what if that is the predator that's on Mars? Either that or something very much like it. Well, maybe by introducing to the soil some type of microbes or something, some substance, maybe that will kill off a bunch of these things, whatever they are. Well, I don't know. See, in the absence of data, all speculation is valid. So when all the data is not on the table, then speculation can come to the table. And those who don't like speculation, my only remark is put the data on the table then. But it's quite obvious to me that NASA made this decision for a reason. And when the Planetary Protection Office and the Planetary Protection Officer at NASA found out about it, that was several months ago, and still nothing was done. Therefore, the decision to send these into or onto Mars unsterilized has a reason. It's not an accident. It has a reason. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Your silence has a reason. What is it? What is it? Just more comfortable to sit and listen than to participate? Well, that's how your country got in the shape it's in. Oh, I know, that ticks you off, right? Well, consider yourself ticked. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and they hung up. First name and where are you calling from? That's what I was about to say. Enjoy the music.
The larger the town, the lonelier the plains. Crisscrossing roads match the lines on my face. People move slowly like tears down a cheek, searching in vain for the love that they seek. I was like them, I think you were too, under a sky colored darkest blue, feeling so cold as the night closes in, longing for warmth of a lover's skin. I look younger by moonlight than I do in the sun. My face tells a story, how my life was run. Emotions within me have faded to gray. My heart feels a torment that
that my smile betrays. But just when I thought that my future had passed and all of my chances had burned down to ash, the vision of you gently cradled my eyes. You caused a fire in my soul to arise. One night you looked lonely and I felt the same. You gathered the courage to ask me my name. We danced to the music of love in our heads. A tide rose within me. I look younger by moonlight than I do in the sun. My face tells a story how my life was run. All of my life I have been waiting for you. My heart feels the warmth of a love overdue. Tree stands alone on a dark winter's night, listening for whispers of spring. We look younger by moonlight than we do in the sun. Our faces age slowly as the day is begun. What lies in the future my eyes cannot see, but the love that we hold paints a new destiny.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. We have a caller online, and caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Pat from West Virginia.
Hello, Pat from West Virginia.
Yes, I was just calling up. You're talking about NASA and all. When I hear people talking about bases, Mars and all that, what evidence is there of that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, there's several bits of evidence. There's nothing that proves anything. In fact, you can't even prove you exist in court. If you go to court, you can't prove you exist. You can provide evidence that gives a preponderance of the evidence saying you exist. But there is testimony from people who have been involved in all kinds of secret programs, testimony of major super scientists that say that it's real, that it exists. We've had testimony from people, at least one person, who is he does not work directly for the NSA, but does do work for the NSA, who has told us that it's real. There are pictures from Hubble Space Telescope that show something massive, a construction of some type, massive construction at the South Pole of Mars. So, you know, that's... is there proof? No, there's no proof. Are there mountains of evidence? There are mountains of evidence.
But to build something on another planet, I mean, just by getting the material there and all that, you know, and what is this, what is it?
Hey, we have a break taking over. Pat, can you hang on through this break?
Yeah,
hang on. I want to talk with you about this. All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. Pat in West Virginia, are you still online with us, Pat?
Yes.
Okay. You were starting to say about just getting the materials up there to build something would be...
Yeah, just the whole construction, because I take it they aren't pouring concrete or laying brick or anything, so it would have to all be metal.
Well, we don't know. I mean, why couldn't you make brick out of the sand on Mars?
Well, I mean, just the working conditions. If it's, you see a building going up, and you see the size of the construction crews, all that, and you know, just getting the equipment, the tools, all that stuff up there. Well, you know, do they have earth moving equipment, or you know, it just. I don't know. It just seems like a kind of a great undertaking that wouldn't, you know, just, I mean, are you talking about two guys doing it, or, I mean...
No, as a matter of fact, you know, the information that has been shared on this show by guests, this actually began in the Carter administration, and by that time we already had what you and I refer to as anti-gravity. They refer to it as electrogravitics. We have aircraft that can take off. You don't need a rocket. They can take off from an airport, from the ground. There's no launch. They just take off. and they can fly into space. Now, we've got those. And how do we know we have those? Well, one way we know is the guy who used to be head of Lockheed Skunk Works. That's the people that develop all the really super advanced stuff that's super, super secret. Some of it we get to know about, like the stealth bomber and the stealth fighter, SR-71 or SR-72, I forget what its number is, the Blackbird. Well, that's who developed those. And this is the guy that was in charge of all of that. And before he died, he said on camera for, I think it was David Serrata did the film production on this. And he said, everything you can all, that you can imagine, all the Star Trek stuff you can imagine, we already have it. He said, we already have the means to take E.T. home. We can fly between the stars. Now, that's the guy in charge of developing the stuff. You and I don't see it. We don't get to know about it. We do get to pay for it, but we don't get to know about it. And in the Carter administration is supposedly when this construction of the base at the South Pole of Mars was begun. Some of these craft are large enough to carry hundreds of people at a time. I mean, they're not little. They're bigger than 747s. So it's entirely possible for them to have carried the crews up there, entirely possible for them to have carried the equipment and the basic materials. And there's no reason why they couldn't use native materials as well, you know, the native materials being whatever's on Mars. There's no reason they couldn't do that. We've been told, Pat, by NASA for so many years that the atmosphere on Mars is so incredibly thin and there's just almost no oxygen in it that you couldn't even, there's no such thing as liquid water on the surface. You can't have it. They say that when the ice melts, it goes straight from ice to vapor without going through the liquid state. They call this sublimation. And they say this is an absolute fact for Mars. Sublimation. And yet, their own evidence proves there is liquid water on the surface of Mars. If you can have liquid water, think about that. That's hydrogen and oxygen. So it means two things. There's a whole lot more hydrogen and oxygen than they've been telling us. That's number one. And number two, the air pressure at the surface of Mars is not so thin that you cannot have liquid water, because there it is. And in fact, the evidence I'm talking about is a picture taken by the Phoenix lander in 2009. Where its camera pointed down at one of its legs standing on the surface of Mars and taking a series of pictures that show water droplets forming right there on its own, on NASA's own lander sitting right on Mars. So the conditions on Mars are not what they've told us. There's a great deal more oxygen, a great deal more hydrogen. And the atmospheric pressure is a great deal more dense than what they've told us. Plus, there's this. Think about this, Pat. NASA had a project that they were going to do in 1999. Now, they funded it, and they actually built it. And it was an airplane. An airplane now with wings that they were going to fly remotely on Mars. How do you do that with no atmosphere?
Well, why would they be, like, why would this they be sending this rover up and stuff if they already have a base up there?
That's a good question. That's part of the question I'm asking tonight. Why are they doing any of the stuff that they're doing? For instance, why would you send a rover Let's forget about the base for a minute. Let's just take NASA's projects, okay? Because the base up there is apparently not NASA; it's military. Okay, but let's just take NASA. Why would they be sending a rover to look to see if there are the building blocks of life to determine if life ever could have existed when in 1976 on the Viking lander they had an experiment that showed biological processes taking place on Mars right now? So why are they doing anything they're doing? And the question really becomes, what are they really doing? Now, remember that airplane I told you about?
Yeah.
They had some budget cuts, and they had to decide whether, you know, they had to cut some programs out, some projects out. So they had to decide between this airplane and something else. And the airplane lost. Okay. You know what it lost to?
What's that?
They sent a communication satellite. A communication satellite. To communicate with whom? For what?
Well, did they already had the airplane built?
Yeah.
And it was just the question of sending it?
Yep.
Having the money to send it up there?
Well, they had the money to send it, or they could use that money for something else, and they decided to use it to send a communication satellite up. So, what's the deal with the communication satellite? Who are we communicating with up there?
I have no idea.
So, see, all of that is part of the evidence.
Who is it? Is it the Russians? Who is doing the thing where they have the guys, like, isolated for, like, a year and a half or something, simulating a mission to Mars?
The Russians did that. We did one. Didn't last very long. The Russians did one. It seems to me that I heard the Chinese did one, but I don't know for sure about that. Yeah. But the evidence is, there are literally mountains of evidence that we can point to, that we can look at, that we can examine. Short of getting photographs and video and live broadcast right straight from the base on Mars, there'll never be anything that amounts to proof. But there are people that say they've been there. There are major scientists who say it is there. And as a matter of fact, from one of those scientists is where we got the information that it was begun during the Carter administration.
Well, where would they be launching these missions from?
They don't launch. They just take off like a jet. From one of these scientists, we got the information that there is a craft in the possession of the U.S. military that can fly from Earth to Mars in approximately 4.5 to 5 hours. And it takes off from land. It does not launch. It does not require a rocket. It is not a rocket.
So, what speed would that be like?
I don't know, man. I haven't calculated it, but I would say that it certainly outruns all the speed cops on Earth. It's moving. It's really moving.
I would just be curious as to how, I mean, in space, is there a lot of, I don't know how much, like, debris or stuff up, you know?
There is in low Earth orbit.
Floating around, how would, you know, I mean, it just seems like if you hit something, going that fast, it would just ride through, unless they had some sort of force field or something around it, you know?
Well, both of your statements are true. Low Earth orbit has buku junk, and it's a danger to the space station even. But once they get beyond low Earth orbit, they could just, you know, fire up whatever their propulsion system is and go. Low Earth orbit is absolutely full of junk because we put it there. It's just got tons of junk. And it's because us and the Russians and everybody else that's been in space has put junk up there. They've lost stuff. They've had stuff fall off their spacecraft. They've had stuff blow up. So, yeah, there's lots of junk in low Earth orbit. But once you get beyond low Earth orbit, it's pretty clear sailing. And the force field, yes, quite naturally there has to be a force field around it in order for them to have what we call anti-gravity. That's not magnetic. What that is manipulating gravity waves. And it would create a force field around it.
Oh, well, that's wild.
Yeah. But if you're interested in taking a look at some of the information about one of those craft, take a look on the internet at the TR-3B. Take a look at that and see what you think. I got to run because we have a break taking over. Pat, thanks for the call.
All right.
We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away, all right? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Danielle from Ottawa, Canada.
Hello, Danielle.
I'm actually calling for a couple of reasons. It's totally off topic. My husband's been listening to you for years. This is my first time listening to your show.
Outstanding.
I wanted to get your opinion on something.
Okay.
It's totally off topic. I've always been more in tune than most people, to other people and things like that. Over the last 6 months, I've been sensing more and more things. For the last 2 months, I've been finding dimes everywhere. What do you think that could be?
Well, it could be several things. It could be just good luck.
I wish. Then it would be dollars or $2 or...
Well, if it was really good luck, it'd be $100. So it could be just good luck. It could be that the number 10 has some significance to you. That there's something significant about the number 10 that you should be aware of. So are you aware of anything having to do with the number 10?
The only thing I can think of is a death in the family in October. I've gone over and over and over this.
Okay. Was there anything particularly... Now, don't take this the wrong way. Every death is significant. But was there anything particularly significant about this death?
Guilt.
Okay.
He had a long death, and I didn't go and see him before he died.
Maybe it... I have no experience in this, so this is just speculation, but maybe he's trying to tell you it's okay.
That could be possible.
Yeah.
That could be possible. my husband mentioned that you have somebody who has certain abilities on your show quite often.
Well, we have several people, but now one that comes to mind is in Canada. Do you know where Serena, I think that's what it's called, Serena, Canada?
Sarnia,
Canada. That's where he's located. His name is Robbie Thomas. He is the most phenomenal psychic I have ever met, talked with, or dealt with. And absolutely doesn't fit what you think a psychic would look like. Guy looks like he belongs on a Harley, you know, with a Hell's Angels coat on. He's a big guy, and he's got tattoos all over him, and bald-headed, and got a beard,
and teddy bears.
But he's a great guy. And that might be a resource, maybe, you know, somebody for you to contact. His name is Robbie Thomas. And you can just Google Robbie Thomas. You'll find his website.
Okay. What do you feel about people that have had experiences throughout their lives of totally different things? Not so much just the sensing things, but other experiences. And I'm going to sound insane, but abduction.
Well, I think it's real. There's certainly a lot of people who have given lots of evidence to lots of very, very credible investigators that they have been abducted. I assume you mean by extraterrestrials?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not alone. There are literally thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people around the world who have experienced that. And you might want to go to YouTube and see if you can find a movie, a video there. It's a documentary called The Experiencers. And this is a documentary about the work of Dr. John Mack. Have you seen that?
I've seen that.
You have?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he was absolutely a credible guy and absolutely believable. And he said these people are not crazy. They have experienced what they say they've experienced.
Do you think that there is a correlation between contact and extra abilities?
Yeah. Lots of people have testified to that. They sure have. In fact, we had a guest the other night by the name of Ben Davis, who, after his experience, had psychic ability and the ability to hear other people's thoughts.
I don't so much hear other people's thoughts, but I can sense things.
Mm-hmm.
I can sense auras. I can sense troubles. I can sense illness.
Yeah, well,
things like that.
Well, I think it's totally possible, and you know, there's just too much evidence of this being real for it not to be real. There's not a little bit of evidence. There's massive amounts of evidence that it's real. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible that after contact with extraterrestrials, you would have, very well could have, extra abilities. It's kind of like they switch them on or something.
Well, I mean, my husband, him and I had the same experience with the extraterrestrials on the same night.
Uh-huh.
But I seem to have developed more than him.
Well, and that also is normal. If you and I go into a restaurant and we order exactly the same food, exactly the same, and they bring it to us, you eat yours, I eat mine, my body takes from it what it needs, your body takes what it needs, and it's entirely two different meals once you eat them.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's normal.
Okay, and thank you for answering my questions. And the second reason I'm calling is going to sound a little dark, but listening to your voice, I would like you to see a doctor.
Well, you are probably right. I've been in bad health for a long time.
I'm. There's something with your chest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have high blood pressure.
Please go and see a doctor.
Okay. I might. But I do have to run, and I'm sorry I do, but we're at the end of the show, so I have to.
No, I totally understand.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. And that's Danielle in Ottawa. Thank you, Danielle. We have a flash message from Mexico City. Greetings from Mexico City, Mexico. Does NASA have proof of Mars has water? Yes. And I covered that when I talked with Pat from West Virginia. Yes, they have proof. Absolute proof. There's liquid water on Mars. And they even this year have said, guess what, folks? We have photographs that show water flows on Mars. Absolutely. So thank you, Mr. Calderon from Mexico City. Gracias, mi amigo, en Ciudad México. Yo hablo español, pero no muy bueno. Pero yo aprendo más cada día. Poquito más cada día. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.